Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Zika virus, and many people just heard of it recently. The World Health Organization declared a global public health emergency on Monday because of the Zika virus. Well, what is it, though? Well, and this marks the fourth time that the WHO has declared a global health emergency since such procedures were put in place in 2007. But the disease was discovered in 1947, and that's the Zika virus. It was discovered in Uganda, and it is caused by a mosquito. The WHO says that it is gearing up to combat the microcephaly outbreak in Latin America linked to the Zika virus. Babies born with abnormally small heads. That's what microcephaly is. No firm link has been established between the Zika virus and the baby's condition, but some observers and experts believe there is no coincidence. So we will try to understand what is going on with Zika virus. We will discuss the topic today on the program. Joining us via phone from Ohio is Dr. Tara Smith. She's Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Kent State University in Ohio. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We are also awaiting our second guest. He is will be joining us from Uganda, Dr. John Kayiwa. He's lab manager at the Uganda Virus Research Institute, and we hope to have him on the phone very, very shortly. But before we start our discussion with our guest, let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment, you can call 202-619-3111, and you can ask the operator to reverse the charges. Of course, the U.S. country code is 1. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat, and we will make sure that our guests answer some of your questions. We will start discussing Zika virus shortly, but first, VOA's Lisa Schlein has this report.
No firm link has been established between the Zika virus and microcephaly, a neurological disorder in babies who are born with abnormally small heads. But it is hard to ignore a possible connection between the virus and this brain disorder, given recent events in Brazil. Nearly 4,000 suspected cases of microcephaly have occurred in Brazil since October, compared with 150 similar cases in 2014. World Health Organization spokesman Gregory Hartl tells VOA experts are not ruling out anything, but the surge in the number of microcephaly cases and the Zika virus may just be coincidental in terms of time and place.
So one of the curiosities is why we have so many neurological cases in, say, the northeast of Brazil, but we haven't had it in other places. So we really need to understand what is existing that causes these microcephaly cases, for example, in children.
Zika gets its name from a forest in Uganda where the virus was first identified in 1947. The virus has spread worldwide, transmitted by the Aedes mosquitoes, which also cause dengue and chikungunya disease. Hartl dismisses fears the Zika virus could pose a threat similar to that of Ebola, which caused more than 11,000 deaths in West Africa. He notes Ebola is transmitted by contact with bodily fluids from person to person and kills about 50% of its victims.
Zika has never killed a person and is transmitted by the mosquito. So we know that there are those two fundamental differences at least. And let's say that Zika on its own would not be the consideration of an emergency committee. What is the concern to the international community is the possible link with neurological disorder.
In the absence of a vaccine, Hartl says governments must stop the disease at its source by removing stagnant water where mosquitoes breed and fumigating houses to kill the mosquito. He says pregnant women in particular should protect themselves by sleeping under mosquito nets, using mosquito repellents, and wearing long-sleeved shirts and pants. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Dr. Smith, thank you for joining us. And let me just reiterate that we are waiting for Dr. John Kayua to join us from Uganda. He's a lab manager at the Uganda Virus Research Institute. So, Dr. Smith, let me have your reaction to this package with a very simple question. Zika virus and microcephaly, coincidence or no coincidence?
Unfortunately, I can't give you a straight-up answer. I don't think we know that yet. There certainly is a temporality issue that we are seeing this increase in microcephaly cases as they've seen an increase in Zika cases. So it seems that they certainly could be related. But we know that toward the end of last year, toward kind of fall 2015 in Brazil, they also started some increased surveillance for microcephaly after seeing some of these cases. So whether that spike that we've seen in microcephaly is actually real, or it's just a function of having better surveillance to be able to actually capture those cases, is really not clear right now. And that's one of the things that the WHO wants to make a priority.
And microcephaly is a condition with children that are born with small heads. What else can you tell us about this, if you could?
Well, that's, neurological diseases are not quite my area, but I've learned quite a lot about this over the last few days. just that, you know, it is a condition of, in some cases, it can lead to diminished brain development. Okay. And it's not always possible to know when children are born just how severe the effects will be over the course of their life. So it's difficult to predict. But in the worst cases, it can lead to death, and there have been several deaths already associated with that in Brazil.
So there is a lot we seem not to know presently about this whole outbreak. But what do we know, especially when it comes to pregnant mothers and newborn babies? What do we know presently?
It's still not a lot, unfortunately. I mean, we know there is biological plausibility, just meaning that we've seen other viruses that can cause microcephaly. So, of course, the classic case is rubella, which has been currently eliminated from the United States. That can cause microcephaly and other type of congenital defects in babies. Cytomegalovirus is another one that can do similar things. So it is possible that, you know, a virus or other microbe could cause this type of condition in babies. We just aren't sure yet that Zika is actually doing that, because in the other outbreaks that we've seen of Zika, that hasn't been reported.
Now, when we look at this current Zika outbreak, I mean, the virus was discovered in 1947 in Uganda. At least that's where it is said to have been discovered. Mm-hmm. Do we know of any other areas where Zika was found, or is this mainly the origin? Do we know for sure that it came from Uganda, or other areas that have Zika?
Mm-hmm. Since 1947, it has been found, either the virus itself or antibodies to the virus in like human populations have been found in various locations throughout kind of the equatorial regions of Africa and parts of Asia. So it seems that it has been circulating in those areas for probably quite some time. But again, we haven't really seen it causing any documented large outbreaks in those areas for the most part. And as was mentioned in the first clip, we don't know of any deaths that have been associated with this. So it may not be from Uganda exactly, but probably has been circulating in those areas of the world for quite some time.
So I ask you what we knew about Zika. It seems like there's still a lot of gray areas. Mm-hmm. What don't we know about Zika at this point, when we look at the way the disease is spreading and what is happening with pregnant women? What are some of the areas that are being researched on? I know that there's a vaccine that is being researched on. What else do we not know or we need to know?
Right. So we don't know for sure about the link to pregnant women and microcephaly. So that's one thing that people are investigating. It's also been reported to cause a second neurological disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And they've seen that in a previous outbreak, and also they're seeing that pop up in Colombia. So that's the other issue that the World Health Organization is worried about, is this increase in Guillain-Barré that may be related to Zika, it may not. So those are the two big ones. You know, if it is then found to be related to pregnancy, we don't know right now if there is a certain point in pregnancy that it would be most important. Again, with the other viruses, usually infection of the mother before 20 weeks of pregnancy is when it is worst, mm-hmm. as far as outcomes. Whether that's the case for Zika, we don't know. Most of the Zika infections are actually asymptomatic. So we don't know if an asymptomatic case in a mother, again, assuming that Zika does cause microcephaly, if an asymptomatic case in a pregnant woman could actually also cause microcephaly, or if she would have to have some of the symptoms of rash and fever and headaches that many pregnant women have reported who then have given birth to babies with microcephaly. Mm-hmm. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have a treatment. And we really don't even know in the current extent of the outbreak. Two new countries were just added, I think, yesterday, as far as cases where transmission is occurring. And then finally, right now there's a lot of focus on Aedes aegypti as the mosquito that is the main vector of this, but there is some research going on also, or at least planned, to test how well other vectors such as Aedes albopictus or even species of Culex mosquitoes, how well they could transmit that as well. So there's so many unanswered questions about this.
That's it's really concerning because it's an outbreak that is ongoing and experts don't know much about it for now. Is it what we were experiencing with the Ebola outbreak, perhaps in the beginning when people didn't understand what was going on? I don't know. That's just a question that pop up in my head. But let me ask you this, just for something very basic as the symptoms, do we at least know what the symptoms are?
We think so, but we thought that with Ebola, too, and saw some things that surprised us. So it seems to be, again, fairly mild disease. So this virus is related to other called flaviviruses, such as yellow fever and chikungunya and dengue, and they seem to cause fairly similar symptoms. Zika seems to be the most minor of all of those, and it causes a headache, a fever, joint and muscle aches, and a rash, which usually subside in a week or two. So as far as we know, those are the most common symptoms, but because we haven't ever tracked a large outbreak of this scale, who knows, there may be some other things that may come up as we just are able to follow more infected people.
I guess one of the questions that I was really thinking about is, if it has been discovered in 1947, what makes this outbreak different? Why is there this outbreak now? What could be the cause? Does it have to do? I'm just trying to understand. I guess so are many people, but do you perhaps have an answer? Anything in that nature? Did any information come out as to why this outbreak now?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't be sure of all the reasons, again, because we're just starting to research this. But one thing that stands out is that before, just this past year, we didn't really know of any Zika cases in the Americas. Again, all of them had been that are found in the literature have been documented previously, for the most part in Africa and in Asia prior to a few other recent outbreaks. So, this is the first time that this virus has probably been in this population of individuals. So there is no population immunity. There's no one living there who is immune to this virus already. So that has probably allowed it to spread as explosively as it has. And I think the predictions now are about 4 million cases potentially by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So that is probably one aspect of it. Of course, there's always the question of, has the virus mutated? Has it changed from what it used to be? And we don't know those answers either yet, but that's one thing that is being looked at, to look at the sequences of the virus that are circulating right now compared to some of the historical ones or even the recent viruses from, there was a 2013 outbreak in French Polynesia and a 2007 outbreak in Yap Island. So I'm sure they will be comparing sequences from those outbreaks and from historical ones in Africa and elsewhere to the current ones that are circulating in the Americas.
Okay. Now, the WHO has declared a global public health emergency. What does it tell you in terms of the way this is going to be addressed now as an epidemiologist and looking at what is happening with this virus?
Well, what it really does is it mobilizes agencies and supplies and funding. So it means that it's something that the WHO is taking seriously. And as was mentioned at the beginning, this is only the fourth time that the WHO has declared one of these. And previously it was for H1N1 influenza, for Ebola, and for polio. So, you know, serious infections. So what it means is that there can now be a focus and an increase in, you know, funding and human resources for surveillance and for mosquito mitigation and for, you know, different types of research into the virus, mm-hmm. And also to get people on the ground to help, you know, mitigate spread. So hopefully it will really help spur some of this research and start, you know, answering some of these questions that we have no idea with now. And then in the long term, of course, they also will be looking for vaccines and treatments to try to, you know, ideally prevent and then treat this virus as well.
As an epidemiologist, again, when you look at, it's almost like we just finished the whole crisis around Ebola. Mm. And now there is this new virus coming up. And for those of us who are in the news, we just wonder, is there always going to be something? What is going on? You know, so what is happening?
There was a study out a few years ago that suggested we have about 300,000 undiscovered mammalian viruses. So there are a lot of things out there that are, you know, in animals, you know, in the forests, in the jungles, that may be able to be transmitted to people. And most of the time, they probably will not cause an outbreak or may not even cause symptoms. But every once in a while, you get these that just kind of explode out of nowhere, like Ebola in 2014 or like Zika right now. Uh-huh. So I think it is something that we'll see more and more, and especially as, you know, we are a very interconnected world.
Yes.
So what happens, you know, in the jungles of Central Africa can be over to the shores of the United States, you know, within less than 24 hours or so. So you're going to see a lot of these outbreaks, I think, that, you know, will take place. Hopefully most will be minor, but every once in a while you will have one that will pop up that will be pretty explosive.
And it keeps people like you busy as an epidemiologist again.
It does.
Okay, Dr. Smith, we're going to take a short break. We have been trying to get in contact with Dr. John Kayiwa from Uganda, but we're having a little trouble with the line. We'll take a short break for the news and come back and continue our discussion. Don't go away. We'll be right back, okay?
The World Health Organization has declared Zika virus a public health emergency. This marked the fourth time the WHO has declared a global health emergency since such procedures were put in place in 2007 after H1N1 swine flu, polio and Ebola. Brazil has been hit the hardest by the virus. Researchers in Uganda say they have developed a new Ebola test kit that can detect the virus in the early stage of exposure. And so in a minute, current tests for Ebola take anywhere from several hours to several days. The development is a potential milestone in the fight against the deadly virus. A new study has found that there is a growing resistance to tenofovir, one of the most effective and expensive first-line antiretroviral drugs. After studying more than 1,900 patients around the world, researchers have found tenofovir resistance HIV trends in 60% of the patients in almost every country in sub-Saharan Africa. This is in a contrast with 20% of those infected with the AIDS virus in Europe who develop resistance. The findings are published in the journal The Lancet Infectious Disease.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, you are on Health Chat and we are discussing Zika virus. Our phone guest is Dr. Tara Smith. She is Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Kent State University. And we had, as we said earlier, that we were going to have Dr. John Kayiwa on the phone, but we are not able to have him. However, my colleague Joe D. Kapwa spoke to Dr. Julius Lutwama. He is with the Uganda Virus Research Institute in Entebbe, and he talked about the history of Zika in Uganda, which was discovered in 1947.
The Zika virus was first identified in Zika Forest, and it was identified while scientists were studying diseases of monkeys in this forest. In particular, they were trying to find out whether there was yellow fever in this particular forest. They used to put out monkeys in cages, and these were put on platforms in trees, and the mosquitoes would bite these monkeys and investigate it to see whether the monkeys have got any infection. That is when this new virus was isolated. It was different from what they were looking for, and it was a new virus that had never been seen elsewhere. So it was given the name Zika virus.
Now, doctor, this was back in 1947, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So why, since then, has the Zika virus, in your opinion, not caused any major problems in Uganda?
There may be two or three possibilities. One of the possibilities is that it may be affecting people more often than we get to know. But because it is a mild infection, people don't take it importantly, and normally they don't go to seek medical assistance. The second reason is that while we have mosquitoes which may transmit the virus, these mosquitoes do not normally bite man during the day. So they bite at night, and they bite at night in the forest, and people are not there in the forest. The Aedes aegypti, which we have, which bites man during the day, does not like to bite man. We have this strain that is called Aedes aegypti formosus, which normally does not bite man. It prefers to bite other animals. The third reason, of course, is that we have several other flaviviruses, and the flaviviruses are known to confer some kind of cross immunity. Because people have got other flaviviral infections, then they may be protected from getting Zika virus. The fourth reason is that we have a strain of Zika virus which is not virulent, which is not causing big problems like the one which has now spread to South America, because it has undergone some kind of changes through some genetic changes.
So in your view, the Zika virus that people are very concerned about now, that's prominent in South America, for example, is a virus that probably has mutated from the version that was originally found in Uganda.
That is what I have read, that there is some change in the genome. There is a slight change in the genome that it can multiply faster and better in humans than the original virus that was identified in Uganda.
As you know, the virus may cause birth defects in babies, and there's some speculation that this might be because of co-infections such as West Nile virus or chikungunya, that the mother, the pregnant woman, might have these co-infections along with Zika. Do you see any possibility of those co-infections making it worse?
Well, probably it could. I believe if they get these infections at the same time, there is that probability. If they get it at slightly different times, there may be some kind of protection of one to the other.
Doctor, do you think the Zika virus spread from Uganda to South America?
No, I don't think that is true. It is not true that the virus has traveled from Uganda, because the virus is not only in Uganda. While it was first identified in Uganda, it is spread over a wide area in sub-Saharan Africa and also in Asia. So there is the probability that it may have come from Asia, or it may have come from any other country in Africa where there is Zika virus. In 2007, there was an outbreak in Polynesia, and then I think it is from that area that it has moved towards Brazil.
So, Dr. Smith, I hope you heard this Q&A that we had earlier with we just had with Dr. Lutwama of the Uganda Virus Research Institute. He said so many different things that I found were very important. And but he talked about perhaps the virus mutating, and he thinks that it might not be the same virus, if I'm correct, that because Zika is also seen in other areas. I think you mentioned that earlier. What is your reaction to this?
Right. Yeah, I agree. There was a paper, I think in 2012 or so, looking at differences in Zika viruses, and they found two different lineages of Zika viruses, one kind of an African lineage and one an Asian lineage. So it's likely the African lineage is what is circulating in Uganda and has been there for probably quite some time. The Asian lineage is the one that is causing the current outbreak in Brazil. So so it's likely they are two, you know, related but separate strains.
Okay. Okay. Now, when we look at all the gray areas, all the unanswered questions, today we're talking about prevention and treatment. In terms of prevention, are we looking at the same approach as we do with malaria, which means protecting yourself against mosquito bite and perhaps emptying areas where mosquito can breathe? What can you tell us in terms of some of the solutions that should be emphasized?
Right, that's what we would be looking at. Take away any water, any areas where water can pool, basically, especially around homes. Use mosquito spray both on a person and sometimes in the homes as well. I think it was mentioned earlier that they were planning to do some home fumigating, I think, in Brazil and potentially in other countries. And just kind of basics of mosquito control and prevention would be what they're looking at here.
And what is being done presently in terms of treatment? What is the approach? Because there is no treatment, there is no vaccine, we don't know much about it. So how is it being handled?
Right, and I am not a physician, so I don't handle the treatment, but I mean,
sure.
It's really not much different than what you can do for some of the other flavivirus diseases, which is try to keep people comfortable, give medicine for pain and aches if possible, but really there's not much you can recommend besides basic rest.
So in a case where there is an outbreak, a new outbreak, such as the one we're seeing now and what we saw with Ebola, even though Ebola was in Africa, in Congo before, when we see this type of scale, what are the first steps that epidemiologists such as yourself take in terms of addressing the issue in a large sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, we really want to know, one, confirm the diagnosis. So that's one of the things that is also a problem in Brazil and elsewhere, is that many people are reporting this just based on symptoms rather than having a specific test for Zika virus done. So we really have only an idea of the scale of this because the symptoms are, again, kind of nonspecific and could be Zika, but could be something else. Mm-hmm. So you want to confirm that. You want to see how far it's spreading. You want to see how dense the virus is in the local mosquito population. How are they transmitting it? And again, what type of mosquitoes are transmitting this virus? And if others besides Aegypti can do it, just to try to look at, try to get a handle of the scale of this and the spread and how it is moving potentially, outward from the initial outbreak area into new geographic locations. So you can try to kind of head off that spread.
Okay. And before we finish, what will be your focus personally as we move forward with this outbreak and how this outbreak unfolds? What will you be looking at?
I guess if it was me, I mean, the key question, I think, is really the issues of Zika's association with microcephaly and with Guillain-Barré syndrome. So try to get better diagnostics for pregnant women, for women who've recently given birth to babies with microcephaly, to be sure that those are being correctly diagnosed with microcephaly, so that we can really know whether this virus is associated with that or potentially causal for those conditions or not. That's really the key issue here because Zika by itself is not, such a harmful virus, but this link to these neurological issues is really the big problem right now.
Dr. Tara Smith, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Dr. Tara Smith, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Kent State University in Ohio. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/health and keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudo in Washington, with producer Jackson Bungani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.